the spirit of this episode where we feel like it would need a director's cut on the DVD, we decided to make a podcast without editing it. No.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Seriously Greatest Podcast. I'm Amanda.
I'm Kay.
We're here today to talk to you about 913 Bad Blood, written by, Janine Renshaw, directed by Steve Robin.
Yeah, Janine Renshaw. We've seen her once this season. We named her podcast, Please Janine.
Please Janine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Steve Robin. Steve Robin, man, I'm looking at you.
I'm not familiar with that name, so.
Me neither, and if you ever pop up again on my screen, I will be judging you. Because I feel like, there may be some director's decisions in this episode that I do not agree with, and we'll talk about that later. Yeah. So, Steve Robin, look out. I'm looking at you. Oh, before we start, there's something I haven't told you guys, and, well, we haven't told you guys, and I keep forgetting to tell you. We got a tweet from Shonda way back, like, no joke, 2 months ago, where we asked her what happened to Arizona's friend, Nick, who came to the hospital at the, was it the season finale?
Yeah. Well, not the finale, the episode before the finale.
Okay, the episode before the finale, and we asked her, you know, what happened to his character, because he just left the screen, and we heard he was going to Belize, you know, to die, but we never heard from him again, and we were wondering what happened to him, and Shonda said that he had died, and that the reason we hadn't seen or heard about it was because Arizona had gotten in a plane crash. So if you guys were wondering about him, he's dead. Poor Nick.
That's random.
Well, it needs to be said because we're not going to hear it on the show.
Okay. Or do you disclaimer?
Okay. I have a disclaimer about... I have strong opinions about this episode, and I think I'm very critical about this episode, so I have a disclaimer before we start. And I feel like, imagine the national anthem of the United States playing as I read my disclaimer. I am not about hate, I am about rational arguments and constructive criticism. But this season has given us a new set of standards. Standards that are high, and yet standards that have been attained over and over again by the writers, directors, actors, and other artisans of this show we all love. Because those standards were given to us by the people who create this show, and by thus making it their responsibility to follow them, I feel like I can judge this episode with those high standards and say that this episode was full or had many wasted opportunities. That's my opinion. And
I can think of a few, but you'll have to probably tell me what you quantify as many, because I can only think about two or three.
Okay. Well, I have two or three or five or six.
Okay.
A few. But alrighty. I think in the context of season 9, I feel like this is a weak episode, but in the context of season 8 or 7, it would have been a good episode. I feel like we have high standards in this season. So,
which in a way is a compliment to the writers.
It is, but I will be very honest that if the next episodes or next few episodes are like this one, I will have a hard time dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to go back on track and very fast, because
I think it was a filler episode. We're getting into that, you know, part of the show now where they're treading water until you get closer to the finale.
Yeah. I feel like there was a few things set up for future episodes. You know, it was like plot driven, but it's not an approach where we usually see on Grey's Anatomy. Usually the Grey's Anatomy is character driven, and this one felt like it was more plot driven.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's an approach we can get on board. He's
no.
So, and also it could have been character driven. Which, anyway, so...
We'll discuss about that.
Yeah.
So the episode opens with Meredith and Christina looking up at the sky, we presume, and we soon find out that they're looking at a camera that they have put into the rooms. I, for one, had a flashback to the security that they put in after the shooting.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "Good morning, Dr. Yang." Christina wonders how he knows her name. I like how she mentions Big Brother knows my name.
Yes, it's nice. A reference.
There's a lot of
to...
book references in this, this episode.
This episode, yes, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she realizes she has her name tag on.
Reference to 1984, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By George Orwell.
I would like to say that I really don't understand what the purpose is of putting cameras in. I mean, it just seems like an interference of medical care.
Yeah, is it plausible?
Seems dumb. I really don't even think it's realistic. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it could have been good, but where I have a problem is we don't see it, but we hear about it. When Leah goes to Yang and says, "Doctor, whatever says I should do this," and this, we can assume that Leah tried to not follow the orders or whatever, and you start arguing with a camera, it must make your patient very uncomfortable and very uneasy.
Was the patient even conscious?
Yes, the patient was conscious. She says it, that the patient was upset because of it.
And yeah, that's just stupid.
Of course the patient, it is, I think that the patient will think that the eye in the sky has answers.
Watching me die.
Yeah. Of course you'll think the robot is right.
It's an invasion of privacy, if you ask me.
Yeah, I don't. And Yang says so also. She says, you know, soon there'll be some in OR, in the
on-call rooms? I like how Meredith's look when she mentions on-call rooms.
Me too. Yeah. I like this as an opener. I like the shot. It was different. I don't know. It got my attention very, very, very much. I think it's a stupid idea.
Meredith looked really beautiful in this episode too.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
She did.
Okay, so we move on to Cahill.
It's the something that popped up. That's the voice doctor. You know, we had heard that a doctor
was cast.
Yeah. Because there was a spoiler that they were casting a doctor who would be only a voice, and we had all these theories. Why would they cast a voice? And that's Dr. Bob. And I would have never guessed.
No, I don't think many people would have.
No, I don't think any people did.
So Cahill is addressing the attendings in the OR. Let me just say, I'm really starting to like how seeing Meredith, Alex, and Christina in with the attendings when big hospital matters are being addressed.
I had the same thought.
Because remember, they used to be those interns, you know, eavesdropping, trying to figure out what the hell is going on, and now they're the attendings. And when they came out of the door after the interns were scrambling to run out of the way, I was really proud of them. I had a proud mama moment.
They're badass also.
I agree.
I don't know. They're yeah.
So basically trying to tell them to cut their OR time in half, which nobody seems too pleased about. Just reorganizing the OR.
Yeah, I like how she says, "Is it clear?" And Yang says, "With disturbing clarity." It's like she's saying, it's like Yang is telling her, you know, "I'm seeing above what you're telling me. I'm seeing the bigger purpose or the stuff you're not telling us." And I don't know. I like it. And also, Cahill mentions costly litigation, that those procedures she's putting in place will avoid costly litigation. And I think it's kind of ballsy to say such things, because costly litigations is the reason why they are in this situation. Well, not litigations, but, you know, the ruling of a case. So, I don't know. I would have, yeah.
No. I would think it would take longer if you have things in different places than you're used to, you know, like, it'd take you longer to try to figure out the new system than it would. You'd think it would make you lose time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about change, right? We're
yeah.
all reluctant. It takes us time to take it in and everything, but change usually it takes time, mm-hmm. but usually it becomes more effective, or
yeah.
that's the idea. But at first, it feels stupider and it mm-hmm. feels longer.
So we go to yeah. This is why I like editing, because we have these pauses. Callie and Arizona slip inside. Honestly, this whole entire conversation I had to watch 3 times because I didn't know what they were talking about. They were talking so fast and mumbling.
Yeah, I got it, but at some point I wasn't sure, which was weird because I should have caught it, but I wasn't sure if they were talking about Sophia or the patient, especially later.
Yeah, same. I thought about that too.
But the thing that gave it away was because they talked about daycare, so of course
yeah.
it was Sophia, but I was still mixed a little. I was like confused at some point, but yeah. What I like about the fact that they enter so late is the fact that we get a different perspective, because they ask, you know, what did we miss? And Bailey and Weber say, you know, well, there's doctors in the ceilings now and the ORs are sloppy. And I like that we get to see how they explain the changes.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not there to hear Cahill presenting it, you're going to have it presented to you in a way that is even less appealing.
Yeah.
So it makes Cahill's job even difficult, or even hard,
mm-hmm.
even more difficult.
I didn't really quite follow their whole bad cop and good cop thing. I don't know. I thought it was kind of stupid. I'm sorry. I'm being really blunt.
No, I think it could have been good, but it was, anyways, yeah. Well, I'll
we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. The thing...
So we find out
they're trying to make a parallel between the styles of parenting and the way the hospital is kind of being babied. And
really? I don't see that at all.
Well, we should see that. That's the thing about this episode. They're trying to make this whole thing about good cops and bad cops. And we see it also with Bailey Weber and the guy who's teaching them about hernia. But it doesn't work, because this episode, in my opinion, wasn't edited, and the director made some wrong decisions. So we can't have this big picture, because there wasn't closure in some of the most important storylines of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
So it didn't work.
No. So we pan out to the interns, as we said, who are freaking out, thinking they're going to lose their jobs. And to me, this reminds me a little too much, once again, of the merger. And, I don't know, I'm kind of getting sick of the rehashed storylines that Grey's Anatomy sometimes does. And this is one of them. I don't like that they're really pushing the fear of losing jobs. I didn't think that's where this plot was going to go.
Yeah. I think it works in the sense that it's a plausible thing that could happen. But yeah, I would have took the focus elsewhere also, because
yeah.
to me, this is very different than the merger in a sense that they are personally involved, because some of those doctors are kind of responsible for it. As for the merger, it was imposed on them. They had no control on it whatsoever. The only thing they could do is be their best self and be the best doctor they could, so that they wouldn't be cut off. But in this one, they're responsible. So I think the focus could have been put elsewhere, and it would have been better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, what they did with the Derek and Kepner was different, and I can see,
mm-hmm.
I can appreciate that. Yeah.
No, we'll get to that. I liked how Alex said to Yang, I'm kind of depending on your rent.
Yeah.
And I like the banter that between them, which we never really did get to see. I wish we could have seen more.
Well, it's not, she's still living there.
Yeah, but for how long?
Yeah.
That's the question. So I don't think the writers are that interested in exploring it.
My question about, we kind of skipped over, but.
Oh, sorry.
The interns. Are those interns hireable now that they won't have any ER experience? Be- because it's kind of part of being a surgeon is being first, you know, first on and having to deal with emergencies and stuff like that.
Well, but,
and if you come from Seattle Grace Mercy West, the program that has no ER, are you hireable?
Yeah,
be my
definitely.
Concern.
It's going to limit their opportunities once they go for a fellowship.
Yeah, that's my thing. I mean, it's one thing. Yes, I would be scared to get fired, but I would also be pissed off that I don't get ER time. So I would actually look into getting an internship elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that none of them think about that. It's like stupid happy Shane, whatever, says, yeah, they're streamlining. It sucks, but that's it. No, you should be pissed about this. You're losing the opportunity to work in ER. I don't understand why they're not concerned about that.
I guess they don't want to really explore that, but.
But why are you exploring something you explored?
That's a big problem I have with the plots sometimes. They're always recycled. I would hope that is the only mention we will get of that. I don't want to see it again.
Yeah, no, me neither.
So, anyways, where was I?
Meredith is very, well, Alex is afraid he'll lose a rent, and then Meredith is very confident that, you know, all through this episode, she's very confident because she thinks Derek has a plan, and she's pregnant, so she won't get fired, and I think it's very different from...
I just don't understand why she's even worried about being fired when it's kind of, like, their money that's going to pull the hospital out of... you know what I mean? Like, it just... I just don't understand where their minds are.
I don't think at this point they have... I don't think at this point it's an option for them to buy the hospital. They haven't thought about that.
No, I know.
So they're not there yet.
But I mean, seeing, I don't see their guilt at all. And one could argue that they shouldn't feel guilty, but I would.
Me, I would too. And I think it's coming. Now that they know that the hospital will get sold, I think now we'll explore it more.
Hopefully.
You know, because they're still in that mindset where they can avoid it.
Oh, I think they're just, yeah, I definitely think that they need to address that soon, because I'm finding it less and less believable as each episode goes by.
Yeah.
So we find out that Derek and Kepner were working overnight together to develop a plan to save the ER. I like seeing them get scenes together. We don't get to see it very often. Last time was when she had a crush on him.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was good to see them together because of that. You know, she's not a mess.
An unusually appealing face.
But you have bad breath.
Why them? Now, why Kepner? Is it because she's a trauma surgeon? She is a trauma surgeon, right? Even though she doesn't have her board and she's not a license.
Like, yes, yes, she is trauma. She actually says in this episode when she talks to Russell, I'm April Kepner. I'm in trauma. So it is trauma. Okay. Why her? Yeah, I think it is because she's a trauma fellow, but not fellow, but whatever. She's into trauma, but also because she's good with numbers and statistics. She says so. And also, she's organized.
Derek then? Why is Derek so involved? Is that his guilt talking?
Yes. Derek is the first one who sees their responsibility, I think.
Yes.
Because Bailey kind of underlined it in front of his face last episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think
Yeah.
He's kind of been leader all through this season, in a way.
I think it shows an interesting part of his character, because Derek's usually the type to kind of, you know, give in to, you know, whatever happens in terms of, I don't know what I'm going for here, but
we've kind of...
He usually just shows attitude instead of, you know, try to come up, but I think Bailey's comment got to him.
Exactly. She told them, you know, you're here trying to fight this woman, but you have nothing else to propose.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think he's reacting to that. But also...
But I have a huge problem with him encouraging them, other departments, to cut their fellows when, you know, like, why should other people have to lose their jobs? so that you can, like, feel better about your guilt of...
Yes, but is that what he's saying? Because is he saying someone will get cut off the fellowship program? Or is he saying that next year they won't have two fellows?
Well, that's a good point.
That's what I want.
Although, when he approached the Durham guy, he said, you have two fellows, you should cut one, I think he said.
Well, also, is it because Dermo has two fellows and all other departments only has one? You know, those are things we don't know.
True.
But yeah. Also, about Derek, you know, we've said last podcast, he's been pissing over his OR with Cahill, and I think it's something to piss over your territory if you're not ready to defend it. But now he has pissed over his territory, and he is defending it. I think that's more respectable.
I agree.
And, yeah. So I think, yeah, I can appreciate that about him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we already knew that Derek had bad morning breath. It had been said somewhere in season,
That's something that Alex has been told multiple times as well.
Yeah.
All the men here, they need to get some dental hygiene.
Meredith snores and Derek has bad breath. In the morning.
Exactly. Okay. Alright, so we go to this workshop with Bailey, Meredith, and the chief. And it seems kind of random that Meredith's there, but the other fellows aren't. What?
Their general surgery.
Oh, right. See, these are the things I don't care to think about. Yes. Interesting. I couldn't get that guy's, what was his name again? Mr. Dr.
Burnt something, Brown something.
He was in private practice and he murdered his wife in it, so I couldn't get that out of my face the whole time I was watching this episode.
Oh.
But, he plays a good villain, I think.
But he was a stupid one.
He was a stupid one, yeah. Chief is trying to piss on his territory. Which is...
Well, what I see in Weber, and I think that's where they were going, but that's one of my problems with this episode.
Care to share that now?
Yes, I'll go all through it with Weber right now. Okay. Get it out of the way.
What is it about Weber that you did not like in this episode?
Well, first I thought, here's this whole older surgeon. You know, he's been there many years, and... he's been chief many years, so many of the procedures that are done at Seattle Grace Mercy West have been greenlighted by him, or has been even put in the hospital by him. And of course, he's there, and there's all this change going on, and I think it's if there's one person in that hospital who would have a hard time adapting, it would be him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because he's been there so many years, and he's older, and he's developed his own techniques.
Yes.
So, and also, last episode also gave me that impression because Cahill, you know, reminded him of something he had told her during her intern's year. He had told her something like, medicine always changes if you're not ready to change, get out of the way or something like that.
Yeah.
So, she was putting it back in his face. You know, you shouldn't be so scared of change. You should be ready to change. So I really was under the impression that that's where they were going with his storyline. Mm-hmm. You know, addressing the fact that he's older and that he has a harder time adapting than the other doctors. But the storyline, the way it ends, changes everything and cheapens, in my opinion, his storyline. Because when the doctor, Dr. Brown, whatever, something, when he yells at him, the patient doesn't matter, it takes away his whole storyline. Because it makes it seem like he was right to be so reluctant to change.
Yeah.
While in fact, he should be more open to change because he is having a hard time adapting. It's not because this whole time he wasn't defending the patient. From the beginning, that's not true.
Yeah.
Or that's not the impression they gave
us. That was a very strange scene. We're going to have to discuss it more. But yeah, that was a weird scene.
It was out of the blue.
For multiple reasons. Because
I think it would be a richer storyline if they would address the fact that Richard is having a hard time adapting. Because some of those change could be good for this hospital. There's no way everything Cahill or anyone proposes is bad.
No.
It needs to be more efficient. So.
Your favorite word.
Yes.
I don't really like Meredith's attitude of saying, well, I'm safe because I'm pregnant. As we know, there was a woman that was fired because she was pregnant back in season 6.
Oh my god, that's true.
So,
well, like, not because. But
well, I mean, sorry, not because she was pregnant, but she was pregnant and it didn't matter. They just fired her, so.
Whatever.
It isn't relevant. If anything, Meredith should have said, I'm not going to get fired because I'm Alice Gray's daughter. Like, that would be better off than the pregnant thing.
Yeah. There's, man. Billy is super a kiss-ass, which feels BCB to me.
Really?
Well, a little. Well,
the childish way that she was being a suck-up. But I can understand her perspective of not wanting to lose her job.
Oh, yes, me
but
too.
I also don't think she should be worried about her job. I think she's one of the most, you know, the best doctors in the hospital.
Well, exactly, and I feel like she's a confident woman. She would try to show off, not be a kiss-ass. She would try to show them she deserves her job, in my opinion.
Yeah. It was still kind of funny to see her and Meredith having a kind of friendship bond.
Yes, I love that. I'm a fan of it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, Bailey being a fangirl. She's mentioned Lost this season.
Bailey's totally a fangirl.
Yeah, season 7.
If any character on Grey's Anatomy is like on Tumblr and Twitter, which she is actually, it's Bailey.
It's Bailey. I totally agree. She mentioned Lost. She mentioned CSI. I'm pretty sure she mentioned Star Wars at some point, and now she mentions more than one time in this episode. She mentions the Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah. I like that side of her. That side of her I can deal with.
Me too.
I embrace it. I love it.
BCB, we like that form of you.
Well, no, I like the fangirl.
I didn't say I like BCB, just that form of BCB.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Also, you know, many paradoxes in this episode. I like the competition we get from student and teacher with Bailey and Meredith. I liked it. Also liked that Meredith was kind of better than Bailey. I can appreciate that. But isn't it kind of lack of continuity from what we saw last episode? Because when we last saw Meredith, she was actually bitching about Bailey, saying that Bailey had no right to tell off Derek in front of everybody. And now she's all fine with Bailey.
I don't think she was mad at Bailey. I think it was kind of the kind of thing that you were irritated at, and then you woke up the next morning and it was all over. You know? Like, it was just kind of a minor irritance, but, I mean, she probably does understand
where
Bailey's coming from.
Then, isn't it lack of continuity for Bailey? Because she was pissed at them the last episode.
No, I don't think I wouldn't even call that pissed. It was just her trying to get him to shut up so that Cahill could finish.
No, I think there was a little, we addressed it. I think there was a little resentment, but it wasn't that. But, you know, they started exploring it last episode. Why would they cut away from it so suddenly?
Because this was a random episode that was just dropped in the middle of the season.
I'm sad. That makes me sad. Yeah. But
So Callie in Arizona, still discussing the fact that Arizona can't put a toddler in tights, approach Alex, who is looking outside at this really, really mean girl. That is the scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're still going on about bad cop, good cop. And in the end, Callie orders Alex to go in and try to get the kid to walk. Where are we? Yeah, so Alex goes into the room. This girl, first of all, I would just like to say she does look like a gymnast.
She's perfectly cast. I thought she was actually a very, very, very good actress.
Mm-hmm.
She had depth. I don't know. There was something about that girl. I think those were hard scenes to pull off, and she really pulled it off great.
Oh, I think she was amazing because, like, just her face, her bitch face, it kind of made me want to slap her. So that's a sign of a good acting.
And also, I had the actual thought, like, this is a psycho in the making. If that girl doesn't get help, my lord, she will end up in prison.
I have to say, though, I didn't find it believable that Alex couldn't talk her into walking. I mean, I get what they were trying to do. Arizona, you know, had to be the one to convince her. But in reality, I really think Alex would have been able to. Like, he's pretty good at talking to adolescents and getting them to deal with their crap.
But I think they've had many attempts, and they've failed many times, all of them.
Yeah.
I think they all fail at this point, you know.
It's true.
So I think it's not his first attempt. And also the girl had a knack to touch on the person's weakness. Telling Alex
that felt really far-fetched, but yeah. It just felt too staged to me.
I don't know. I don't know. If you strike the right chord with people, you can hurt pretty bad. Very quickly.
Yeah. We know that. Works with Alex.
Yeah. So, and also the way what she tells him would hurt. If you had ever been the best at something, you know.
I think it's kind of ironic that the girl hurt both Alex and Callie, and because obviously this is all set up because Arizona hurt both Callie and Alex.
But it's no, that's see that's
which we know they didn't. They missed the opportunity, but it was. I think they were aware of what they were doing to an extent, but they didn't follow through with it.
And it pisses me off. This is my biggest freaking frustration about this episode. They had the perfect setup.
I know.
Perfect setup, because last episode we saw Arizona dealing with phantom limb pain and having a big victory. And if we can assume that in this episode Arizona is back to her old self more than she's ever been this season, and she's at a place where she's able to see what she did, you know, the things she did that hurt the people she loved, I think.
Yeah.
So to put us in this situation and not follow through with it, it just pisses me off.
I know. It's kind of like, what did I write on Twitter? It was like taunting the bear.
Yeah. Because it's a perfect setup.
I got really excited when I realized, and then I was like, oh.
Why? It's damaging to all their characters, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and what she said was perfect, but we'll talk about that when we get to it.
Pisses me off.
I know. So, yeah, Alex can't get the girl to get out of bed. She makes him feel like he's a suicide risk, as he later says.
Yeah. I noticed that the actress has a similar speaking pattern as Camilla.
I love the dramatic music that they used behind each speech she gave to Alex and Callie.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Like, oh my god, this is just so intense, guys. This girl, she's
like
scary.
Yeah, she's like Hannibal Lecter. She's the future Hannibal Lecter, people. But I'm pissed off.
Yeah. Okay. So Hunt is kicked off the what?
Yes. I hadn't catch that on my first watch.
Okay. Explain. Because I didn't catch that.
Wait, I need to burp.
Okay. I'm not editing this, Kay.
Okay. Okay, so Cahill gets a page and she's paged at the ER, and Hunt has kicked off the contractors who were in the ER measuring the place so that they could do some renovations. Which, I love it. That's a whole different way of pissing on your ER. Mm-hmm. You know, he's trying to work, be a doctor, and there's these contractors around measuring the place. And I would actually have liked to see that scene. Owen chasing them off.
We're like, get lost!
Yeah, get lost. So they get into this argument, and they get into the lift.
Right away, when they got into the lift, I knew that Cahill was uncomfortable. But she kept on covering it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was very aware, like, she wasn't looking at him directly, she was looking around while she was talking, like, trying to make herself feel comfortable, I guess.
He tells her, you know, he tells her, he uses army references to explain how the ER is important, and he asks her, tell me one thing more useful than a ER, and Cahill can't name one. And she tells him, you know, we're still weighing the options. We're still trying to find out what we'll do, how we'll change things. And she actually has to admit that he's made his point.
Mm-hmm. I really liked his determination to keep the ER running for one day. I thought their interaction was really humorous when they were walking to the elevator.
Yeah.
What did he say to her? It was like, I guess you'll have to, I don't know, but it was funny.
It's important to Owen because he doesn't use the army reference that often. He doesn't use his army background.
No, you know he's pissed off and he's trying to make a point.
Exactly.
He only brings out the big guns when he has to.
Yeah, because if you remember correctly, when Derek was stranded at the trailer, because
I'm really liking Owen this season.
Me too. Yeah.
Despite the fact when he tries to avoid talking and have sex, I like him.
Me too. I like him as chief now. I can see, you know, I can see how he was chief material. Mm-hmm. I like him. And yeah, so I'm happy that he's fighting her. I'm happy that it's done in a very mature.
He's not being flat out rude, no.
No, he's very sensible and I think he's very patient with her and he's still.
He's just trying to put up some fight, you know, resistance. You're not just going to, you know, lay back and let every little, like, he is accepting the decision, but he is determined to keep it open for that one day, for that one crisis they were bringing in.
He doesn't make it personal.
Yeah.
And she doesn't either, because she says later, you know, I know you're probably the person here who's the most pissed off at me. And yet, strangely, he's the person with whom she has the most civil interactions.
Yeah.
And more than civil. I think it's kind of starting to become a friendship in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Kepner and Shepard are debating on who should speak to who. They want to start with Russell. These are all names. We have no idea who they
yes.
are.
Yes. Yes. Russell is the new cardio ad. He's the only one we know.
That was the, right. Okay. What was his first name again?
Oh boy.
Anyways, it was mentioned early in the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, Derek is paged away and he tells April to do it herself. She says, but no one likes me. No offense, but I wouldn't really trust April to do it by herself either.
But my thought at that moment was, I can like you, April, when you are well written.
I don't know. I would totally just expect her to say the wrong thing, just say something a little too much, and the whole thing would just fall apart.
No, I wouldn't trust her with those presentation either.
I wouldn't. Sorry, April.
To make the research, absolutely. To be the sidekick, absolutely. But Derek has a knack. You know, he's McDreamy. He's charming. He would convince many people of many things, but April, not so much.
Yeah. I like how he tells her, talk from the heart. April's like, but I don't know how to do that. Yeah.
I like, for some reason, I'm a fan of April admitting that she likes statistics, and, yeah, saying, like, not many people share that passion. I like
April.
It. April liking numbers, I like that.
Okay, so this is where we have the intern going in to give a treatment to the patient. Wait a minute.
No, we're number 11. Oh, no.
Shoot.
Whoa, I'm so lost.
We totally skipped that. Okay, forget the Kepner and Shepard thing. So automatically a patient comes into the elevator because they went up to the roof. The carotid blows, and Cahill puts her hands in and stops the
bleeding.
Blood, Yeah. Okay, right away, and we know throughout this episode, because the way she was like, I got it. And then later on, when she was hesitant to remove the clamps after she had, whatever, put her stitches in or something. I think she had a similar experience as Lexi had with blood coming, like, soaking her, you know?
There's something about blood, and I think there's something about blame.
In her
background somewhere. But there's definitely something. As soon as Owen mentions, you know, we're going to the medevac or the roof or whatever for a patient, she gets very uncomfortable and she wants to get off the lift. So yeah, there is something there. There's something that happened in the OR or about a patient at some point that made her get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes back quickly. As soon as the carotid explodes, she knows what to do, and it also makes her realize Owen's point. You know, I was the closest. I'm the one who had to make the save. Makes her understand the point of a ER.
Mm-hmm. And as we're gonna find out next episode, based on the pre-promos, someone is in trouble, and once again, Seattle Grace is the closest there. It just seems like such a waste to close down the ER.
Yeah.
When you can save all these lives.
Because we know they've already, Seattle has already lost an hospital when they did the merger.
Yeah. And that right there, I think, defines the hospital. They care about people. They don't care about money. I mean, they do to an extent, but a lot of the doctors are very passionate about helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And come together to...
Come together.
Definition.
Yeah.
Anyways, so back to. Yes. So Christina is bothered by the fact that Mr. Ceiling Doctor is telling her intern what she can and cannot do. I like how she confronts him.
I like she's sensible about it. She doesn't go in the patient's room to confront him. She goes in an empty room.
She does, yes.
So I think that's very, very smart.
Yes.
You know, I think that shows kind of growth from Christina. Not being passionate, but she's not a hothead. She doesn't do the stupid thing. She goes in the empty room and she confronts the doctor. She doesn't do it in front of the patient.
I like how she disses him. Just like, oh, you have a lot of time to breathe, do you?
And I like that she knows the article and she wants to argue against him because the article said something else. That it was more prone to whatever. But she's cut off. But yeah, she knows the article. So she... You know, she proves that she's not a moron. She knows what she's talking about. She made that decision even if she had read the article.
Yeah. Moving on, April's talking to Russell. The scene is important, you say?
Yes. To me, it's important because last episode we kind of had, or I had this feeling that everyone was loyal to one another. They were checking everybody's back, everybody covered for everybody, but these scenes with Derek and Kepner gives us another feel where maybe not everybody's on board and not everybody's ready to save the ER and not everybody's ready to do, you know, to make what they can to save that ER. They're not that cohesive of a group,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean. Because Russell is not interested at all.
Well, I think there's a certain selection of a group of doctors that are loyal to each other. Which, we know that Seattle Grace is a lot bigger than the show lets on sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so she pretty much fails at that.
Yes.
Cahill is in... Right in the OR action, I like how she gets offered to have someone replace her, but right away her instincts kick in and she knows that it's better for the patient if she keeps her hands on him. And I like the contradiction with her saying this is better for the patient with Dr. whatever his name is when he says the patients don't matter. Like, he's technically working for Cahill, but Cahill clearly believes that the patients do matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that was my other problem with the other doctor. Because Cahill, she's not a villain. You can see there's more depth to her character, but this other guy turned himself into the villain by saying his comment about the patient. He made the fight very black and white, and I think there needs to be more contradiction about
that. There's one guy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he should represent the entire, all of the enemies.
And he doesn't for us, but for typical viewers, I think, or for people who are more inclined to see black and white, he gives them a strong, strong, strong argument. A very strong argument.
Yeah.
And I think that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to keep Cahill this ambiguous character, it's more difficult with what that character did. So.
Mm-hmm. I like how Derek walks in and says, instead of telling us how to do our jobs, now you're just doing it.
And I like how she responds right away, well, it would be more effective. You know, I like her attitude. I like how you can see she's been the villain over and over again, and she can take it.
She knows how to interact with all of their jokes and stuff.
Exactly. She doesn't ignore it. You know, she shows them that she's a fighter, and she knows that she has pertinence in this setting.
In a strange way, I think they accept her more when she does that.
Of course they would. They're competitive. They will respect someone with a little competition.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Unlike Jackson.
Yeah. So, I think what happened in this OR with Owen kind of giving her the place to be a doctor instead of someone with numbers, whatever. I think that this could have not happened with another doctor. Do you think, like, if this had happened with Derek, do you think he would have let her stay in?
Sorry, are you talking about Jackson and his big mouth?
No, her. I'm not a Jackson.
Oh, sorry. Would he have what? Sorry?
Wait, what?
I'm sorry.
No, the point has been made. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I did think it was interesting how he said that if this accident had happened tomorrow, the man would be dead.
Yeah.
And Cahill didn't really have a response to that.
I like how she gets comfortable very fast. You know, she starts humming, and you can see she has habits, and she falls in her old habits very quickly. And Owen actually asks her, you know, why did you stop operating? And we don't get to see.
We never. I guess I would assume she dodged the question.
Well, Derek walks in, and yes, she dodged it, of course.
Right, sorry, I thought that was transitioned after that, but no, it was Derek.
No, it was Derek, and I think if there's one person who will get that answer, it's probably Owen. I
agree.
In confidence, or maybe Weber, but I'm thinking...
No, I think she's going to avoid Weber like the plague, and I have a weird feeling that the reason she isn't operating might have something to do with Weber.
Maybe.
Like, not that it was his fault, but maybe he remembers the incident, and maybe she doesn't feel comfortable sharing with him for that reason.
It would be fun.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jackson walks in, and I have to say, what he was saying was pretty funny. Like, it made me laugh.
Yeah. How about you? I can see, yes. I thought it was funny also.
I would probably have the same attitude.
I think so too, and I can respect sarcasm, and I think sarcasm kind of suits him. My problem is, as soon as he sees her, he gets scared and he runs off.
Well, he was only in there to do a brief check, wasn't he?
No, he checks and he says, well, I can arrange that post-op, or something like that. I would not have run off.
Why are you such a coward sometimes?
Exactly. I would have stayed there and have a staring contest with the woman.
Yeah.
If you're going to be sarcastic, but in a smart way, because what the point he's making is kind of smart, you know? And in my... If you're going to make decisions about ORs and how an hospital runs when you haven't been a doctor for years... You know, it's hard for them to see how,
mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I'm receiving 1,000 texts. It's hard for them to see how you can have an opinion when you haven't been inside a noir for years.
Until now, then, she says.
Until now. And which gives us another clue about her. It's been years.
It reminded me of that one time when Addison came back and she started talking
with
about
Rose,
and she didn't realize Rose was in the OR. So those are always awkward situations.
Yes.
But it's so funny because, like, you really can't tell unless, you know, you see the person's face because everyone's got masks on.
Yeah. And Derek also mistaken.
And all these other, yeah.
Derek also thought it was Kepner.
Yeah. Anyways. So Cahill checks the time. She does her,
Jackson runs and Hunt apologizes for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important scene. He apologizes for Avery, and she says, you know, it's okay. I'm used to being the bad guy. And if it makes it easier, I don't care. I've saved many hospitals and I've never been thanked for one of them for.
Just for that, I want to write her a big thank you letter.
Yeah.
And get everyone to sign the card.
Me too. And I really hope that her character does help the hospital and that they do get to thank her. Even if it's not explicit.
No, yeah.
And it reminded me of the song for some reason, because they were all talking about blame and thank, and it reminded me of Between the Lines of Fear and Blame, you begin to wonder what you came. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome, Kay.
Yes. So it could be the musical. You begin to wonder why you came. Where did I go?
Should get Sam to do a some kind of skit with that.
I'm sure she'll write a song for Cahill. She's a fan.
Yes. Okay. Anyways. Cahill.
It's Cahill who proposes the procedure that actually saves the patient.
But
and
this is once again where she feels she's very hesitant to remove the clamp. And so I feel like that there's something there.
Yeah.
The fear that she has with removing clamps with blood.
Because her mantra is something like, there will not be a bloodbath, there will not be a bloodbath, there will not be a bloodbath. And yeah, I think there's something about blood.
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
She was very careful and relieved when it didn't blow.
Hmm.
So.
And she wants to go, she wants to leave, but Owen says, you know, we're not done, we still have to do this and that, and then we get to talk to the...
She can tell by the look in her eyes that she's very tempted to get that thank you. You know, it's something that she obviously didn't really get to experience much.
It's very sensible of him.
She probably got, you know, the opposite of a thank you for something that happened with the patient.
Yes, so we're saying right now, people, our theory is that there's something about blood and there's something about blame in her storyline.
Yes. So Yang and Leah, oh gosh, I forgot about this patient.
He happens like 20 minutes inside the episode.
Yeah. What's the GW stand for again? Jehovah's?
Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's Witness, okay. So yeah, we see that. I felt that this whole plot line was not explored enough, because what was the point in having the friend question whether he actually was or not if we didn't find out, you know?
Well, I think that was the point. You know, you never get to hear the patient's point of view, but the fact is you have to follow orders. You have to follow the medical alert that was on his bracelet or whatever. You cannot question it. You have to do it.
Seems to me like this episode was a bit black and white.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I think that's
I don't know. It just seemed very random, and I didn't feel like there was closure.
But I think we couldn't.
Not that I really care that much about the patients anymore.
But I think we couldn't get closure on this one, and that was all. That was about it. We sometimes we can't get closure. We have to follow orders, and you know, yeah.
Leah's having a hard time with this. Do you think she lost somebody?
I think she's just an intern. She has. You know, she's passionate. She wants
Meredith wanted to save the pole girl, but couldn't. Like, there's been many instances when they were in their intern years and they wanted to save someone that couldn't be saved, like the old lady, for instance.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of similar to that.
Yeah, but I think she's passionate. She doesn't take no for an answer. She wants to save her patient. I don't think it has to do with her past. I just think it's a kind of the mindset you're in when you're a doctor, and it's hard to accept the fact that sometimes you have to hold back because of legal reasons, because family says so, because of belief. You have to hold back. You have no choice. And it's hard, but you know, you can't go behind.
I like that Christina cares enough to try to persuade them.
Me too.
Usually you'd think that she would just dump it and try to find another surgical case or something, but she, you know, tried her hardest, and she was very respectful, I thought.
She was a great teacher in this episode.
Yeah.
A very good teacher, because she was stuck with Clingy, who we kind of don't like, and I don't know, she's patient, she takes the time to explain it, she tells her many times. I don't know, I thought she was a great teacher in this episode.
I honestly thought that this was how Leah was going to go, that she was going to get fired here.
Me too! So when is she going to get fired?
I don't know, maybe she doesn't.
What? No, I want something to happen, and I want it to be... Actually, I'm happy it's not medical. I want it to be something... Deep and messy.
You think she can get very deep?
Well, I think she is deeper than we've made her out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know, personally, if I was in that situation, I would have a hard time. And I've actually been put in similar situations where I work with kids and the parents made decisions and I have to follow what the parent told me. Even if I know it's the wrong decision, you know, I can't go behind their backs.
So Leah goes to try and switch the blood with the saline.
Well, first they go to talk to the parents.
Right.
Yeah.
See, this is why I like editing sometimes, because I kind of jump ahead.
Yeah, but the notes are stupid for this episode, because the episode was stupid. So they go to talk to the parents, and I like that it's Christina who does it, and when we know she hates speaking to patients. I like that she takes the time, and she's patient with them, and...
I said that already.
Yeah. but I also like how Murphy tries to... You know, she's close to crossing a line, and I like how Christina holds her back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of how Christina teaches in this episode.
Anyways, let's be honest, though, that as you wrote, this camera would have saved Denny.
It's Holly who made me realize that.
Really?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
But we're not using it properly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we see Leah at the nurse's station, and she's moping, and she's being pissed off, and she's impatient, and Christina leaves the room, and Leah immediately goes to the patient's room and tries to change the fluid for blood. And how stupid is she? Did she forget there was cameras? Did she think she wouldn't get caught? I mean, that was a stupid...
It was stupid. She forgot about the cameras, I guess.
If I've ever seen one. Stupid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Seen ever. Because, you know, it's something to go against your attending, but it's something else to do it in front of a camera, especially when it's illegal.
And yeah.
The camera stops her. Of course.
Yeah. I would just like to say before the scene, because we missed one scene to talk about, Meredith starts to feel like something is wrong with...
Oh, the scene is later.
No, it's not.
Yes.
No, because she came up to Christina and said...
Oh, no, but it's written later because it's with a set of scenes.
Okay!
Or it should be anyways.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm surprised that Bob... did not want to get her fired.
Yeah. He's not the bad guy. He's not there to report on them. He's really there to help them medically, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's just trying to win them over to screw them later. I don't know. We'll see.
So Callie, it's Callie's turn to try to get the hip girl to walk. Her method wasn't much different than Alex's, really.
She was impatient and sarcastic.
Yeah.
He has to assume that they've been there many times. It's not their first.
Well, she knows. She knows all of them. So. So we find out, I guess, that Callie is in security, and I think this is pretty believable. It's always been her work. We know we saw it when she cried because she couldn't fix the man's legs. When she puts her heart into trying to fix a patient, she does sometimes take it personally if they don't walk again.
It also reflects on her personal life also. Because
yes,
with Arizona, you know, no matter how she tries to help Arizona, if Arizona doesn't try herself, it's kind of lost energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a point where she has no control over what happens with Arizona. Arizona has to make her own decisions. So I think it was the perfect setup.
Couldn't take the girl seriously when she was saying those things because it was just so intense. I just couldn't stop laughing.
You laughed?
I couldn't stop laughing sometimes. Yeah, it was just the way she delivered her lines. It sounded way too dramatic for however old she was, a 13-year-old girl.
Have you dealt with teenagers?
I'm sorry, it was the music, and it was the way she, and it was her lines.
They are the most...
She was talking way too adult for, her age. It was funny, okay?
If they are dramatic people in this world, it's frickin' teenagers.
Funny.
My lord. But yeah, you know, as soon as this scene starts, Alex tells them, you know, it's dark and twisty in there, it's super dark. They have the perfect frickin' setting to remind of how dark Arizona was at the end of...
Arizona does not seem too bothered by that.
At the start of episode 1 and episode 3, and every time she's been a big meanie to everybody. And they don't make the... Well, they use meanie in this episode, so I'll say meanie.
Okay.
They don't use that opportunity.
The thing with Arizona was that she didn't even have to try to guess what their weaknesses were, but that's...
But I don't think she was attacking it on purpose, but yeah.
No, whatever. I'm just saying how she probably recognized this girl's method of coping.
They make it so... And they make Alex and Callie so speechless. I think they were less speechless when Arizona was attacking them.
Yeah. I don't know.
So why are new...
Oh, once again, I think this plot was very forced in some ways, and I didn't like all of it.
I am 100% sure it would have worked better if it would have ended with a proper Arizona acknowledging that she was that girl at some point and realizing that she has to treat people with respect, and treating people with respect means you have to apologize in an explicit manner. Not just acknowledging that you were a bitch like you did with mm-hmm. Callie, really.
Okay, we're just gonna finish talking about this whole part plot right here and right now, because I don't want to go all over the place. Is that okay?
I don't know what we're talking about.
I mean, we'll talk about when Arizona goes in too.
Okay.
So yeah.
Clicking Ellen Pompeo cuteness. So.
No, I'm just playing. yeah. So. Arizona goes in after she finds out that both Callie and Alex failed to get the girl to get up on her feet. At first, she's patient and tries to reveal her own weakness. And it's only when the girl calls her a cripple that she begins to really lose her patience.
But I'm a fan. That's the part I like about the storyline. I'm a fan of the fact that it's not the fact that Arizona has lost her leg that wins the girl over. Because that would have been cheesy. We were all expecting that
yeah,
storyline.
Yeah.
We were all expecting the girl to relate to Arizona and, you know, get up. But no, that's not how it works.
No.
And I'm a fan. That I can appreciate.
I like that in the end, what what she connected with the girl with wasn't the fact that she had lost a leg, but the fact that she had been mean to people. That was kind of, you know, the connecting line rather than her injury.
Yeah.
That she had originally tried to get through to her with.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if it was a good idea for her to threaten to kick her ass.
They've all done it. Chris, I mean, Callie said something like, "You'll rot and I don't care." And Alex says they're all very harsh to her.
Yeah.
But yeah, Arizona.
Do you think they could hear her?
I think so. I'm pretty sure they could. And is this what they're telling us? Because they saw Arizona win. You know, they saw Arizona acknowledging that what she herself had done isn't right. And you can see a 100% shift in all of their demeanor when the girl actually tries to get up. When she actually tries to get up, you see Arizona, you know, support her, and you see Callie and Alex run inside the room, and Alex verbally congratulates her. So yeah. Is this what they're trying to tell us, that apology don't need to come when this person starts trying to get better? That's the apology.
Mm, yeah.
But that's too... No, I don't want it to be that.
It's not... No.
That's too deep. That's too second level. That's too... No, it needs an apology. It was too personal to be... Just that. It was too personal to just be Arizona is back on her feet. That's her apology. That's her acknowledging we were right. No, that it can't be.
I couldn't help but wonder if Alex's big smile directed to the girl was because of what Arizona had said. You know?
Yeah.
Because he was really happy for that girl.
Because if that's what they were going for, they didn't.
No, it did. It wasn't clear. It was very
clear.
It was only people like you and me who are gonna analyze the shit out of this is gonna understand what they were trying to get to.
Is it because we're desperate to that point?
Exactly, and that's not good.
That's
good. We need more. Arizona needs. I'm kind of giving up hope though. So
and not to have real ultimate Arizona growth.
It was a perfect opportunity. You had Callie and Arizona and Alex on a case together with a girl who was taking people down with her. And why the heck were they... Ugh. Why?
See, that's...
Why, writers? Why?
My theory is that it's not a writer's problem. I'm like 99% sure that a scene was written and that a scene was shot, but for some reason they decided they wouldn't put it in.
Well,
and maybe
there was a last minute change in a future script.
It doesn't work. Why would they make a scene where Callie is with the interns and she gives them a lecture about how the future is out of their hands and they make her so bitter and so hangry, and then they don't give her closure? Why do you put emphasis on the opportunity you have and then don't take the opportunity? It pisses me off. There's nothing logic about this storyline. There is nothing logic about it.
Right, we gotta move on.
Fucking hell.
Even though we could probably talk about this for an hour.
No, we're closing this case. This case has been proven to be a missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity.
Case closed.
So yeah, Meredith isn't feeling well. She immediately thinks that something is wrong. Bailey, at first, she still thinks that they're having a friendly competition, but I like how she immediately gets serious and decides to follow Meredith. I love the way when Bailey realized what she was feeling. I loved her reaction and how she called Meredith sweetie.
I want Bailey to be the godmother of that child.
I know. So yeah, and I love Meredith's reaction when she was like, "Oh."
And I like that it's a mom, you know, Bailey, who's like their metaphorical mom, who tells her, you know, this is one of the good parts of being a mother, Meredith. This is your baby moving. I think it's proper that it's a mother who tells Meredith that.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith is already a mom, but she hasn't been through
she hasn't been through
pregnancy. Yeah, so. And I like the transition of Meredith realizing, my baby's moving. So cute.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And why do you think Meredith is so inclined to think that there's something wrong with the baby?
Just because everything's always... Everything happens. Never works out for her.
Yeah. Poor Meredith.
She's just a glass half-empty kind of girl.
Well, we don't blame her. Shit has happened to that girl.
I mean, she did lose her sister on a plane, and
yeah.
A lot of other cops happened lately, so...
Yeah.
McDreamy shows Kepner how it's done by manipulating the cardio attending.
Oh, no, first he manipulates the dermatology.
Right. By using the whole Zola kid thing.
Yeah. But it's, I have to admire the way he does it.
I like how he acts like they're friends. Hey, hi, how are you doing? The guy's probably like, wow, Shepard's talking to me.
Yeah. And he plays, he really does play on the emotional, you know, thing. He says, yeah, she puts everything in her mouth. Like, it's a choking hazard. Good thing that the ER is close to the daycare. And the guy's like, but wait, isn't the ER closing?
Yeah.
And Derek's like, yeah, that's actually what I wanted to talk to you about. Like, it's not a setup. Like, the guy is stupid enough to think... You weren't coming over to propose your budget cuts.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I like this guy's response to all he wants is Derek's parking space, the cardio one.
But I mean, you don't care about your hospital?
It's really kind of funny.
But I like that there's a character who cares more about his personal gain in this than the hospital. I like it. I think it's...
And Derek probably, no, because this guy does too. But yeah, I'd imagine the top attendings have really nice parking spots.
Yeah.
Now, poor Derek's going to have to walk a mile to get to the hospital.
I like Derek's reaction. I'm a big fan of Derek reacting, like, with a smile to something like that. He has this way of reacting to things that, I don't know.
And he has to remind him about his sister.
Yeah.
It's always a sure way to get through something.
The sister argument?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
He gets a parking spot. That's it.
Yes.
They all accept the budget cuts.
Woot. Which doesn't matter anyways. I love how Meredith goes up to Christina and tells her that my baby was kicking. And she calls him a jerk.
Yeah, Christina calls him a jerk.
But see, this is seen that happen before her intern went rogue.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter with that line. Which I laughed. Oh my god, there was a whirlwind in your mic.
Oh, sorry, that was me just... I sighed.
Yeah, on second watch, I actually laughed at that scene. I like Meredith's... Maybe kicking is his way of saying he's hungry for a granola. I don't know, I think it was cute. Cute mm-hmm. scene. But people were kind of pissed that she went... Or that we got a scene with Christina rather than a big scene with Derek. But I mean, what kind of makes me feel better about that is, you know, Meredith will be pregnant for more than half the season, so we did already get some good Meredith scenes with the pregnancy, and we will get more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Now this scene coming up next, with the interns outside talking about how they are the future, so they can't necessarily get cut. You know, the hospital needs doctors, they need a future. Where the frig did Callie come from, and why was that necessary?
I swear it wasn't necessary, and it should have been cut. It should not have happened. This scene should not have happened.
It was just so random, and it just threw me off from the feel of the episode. It made me kind of annoyed with Callie for being so, you know, entitled and rude to the interns, and for littering. And, like, I don't know. I mean, I like, if I took away the whole scene, I did like the scene Sara Ramirez is acting with her evil laugh and everything, but I just did not like this scene.
No, me neither. I strongly believe this scene should not have been put in the episode.
It's just so random.
It's random and stupid. It's random and stupid.
I mean, I don't even think it's worth discussing on this podcast.
No, let's not discuss it.
Let's move on.
Let's actively not discuss this scene.
Bailey is calling herself the girl on fire.
Hunger Games. Yeah.
Weber suggests his method to the doctor, who doesn't seem too thrilled. I like how Bailey has this need to please, even, you know, and it's kind of funny because she used to have the interns, you know, need to please her. So, I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
The doctor, Dr. Brown guy, whatever, he is really pushing standardizing. And I'm wondering, wouldn't standardizing a procedure stop them from innovating? You know, wouldn't stop them to make things better? Because if you have to do something a certain way, why would you explore other options? And
yeah,
I think in a way standardizing would limit them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They're basically trying to turn them into robots and doing everything the same.
Yeah, and I think in a way it really reflects the situation of the medical situation in America.
But Seattle Grace is a teaching hospital. You should have different methods. You should be open to, you know, but that's not working for them apparently.
But it should. You're right. You're right. But yeah, you're right. It shouldn't be like that. But it is a reality, I think, in North America where medical care is medical care. I mean, it is healing people and it is important, but it is also a business. Hospital needs to be efficient and they need to make money. It is a reality. And I think it's unrealistic to think that money isn't important. And I think that sometimes money becomes more important than the patient. And I think it's a good plot line. It's a good idea, but I just.
Moving on.
The whole comment about patients not being important, I think it.
That was just stupid. It's another stupid scene.
It cheapens Weber's storyline, I think.
Yeah, you've already discussed that, but I like to see how everyone in the room, all of the general surgeons, eventually grew cold to him after that. And so he probably felt very uncomfortable, which I liked. They kind of teamed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, yeah. Okay, this episode is a very venty one. So who, Bailey won the shirt. First of all, going back to that, I thought it was really funny when he, presented the prize. I love Meredith's reaction when she was like, oh, those aren't cheap. Like, totally making fun of it.
I kind of want that shirt, but no.
I do too.
It's cute, but I don't like it also. I don't know.
I thought it was really tacky, but I thought that's part of the reason it was so funny. But I like how Bailey was wearing it and how she, like, there's a million things she probably wanted to say, but the only thing she could really say was that her shirt was itchy.
What made her switch sides?
That stupid comment about not
patients.
The patient care, yeah, which was completely dropped on them just so that they could turn against him.
It pisses me off.
Which is very bad story editing. I don't even know if it's the writers or the director, so I'm going to call it story editing.
Sure, let's call it story editing and be pissed at it.
Exactly.
God damn it.
Kepner and Shepard have put their plan into place. Cahill says no budget cuts, which she quickly assures them that they must have misunderstood. Now we find out that she is staging the hospital for a buyer. What was your thoughts about that?
Well, first off, I think come on. Let's not fool ourselves. It's not that they misunderstood. You never made it seem like there was a buyer coming in. It's not that they misunderstood. I thought that, you know...
But she gave quite a few other reasons last episode about why the ER should be cut, and it wasn't just the money, was it? It was also about using, you know, you're using too many doctors for things that, you know, they have surgeons in there when they shouldn't.
Yeah, it's not just the money.
So, you know, there's many reasons, and so I think that's what she meant when she said that you misunderstood. It wasn't just about the money.
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
So,
But I mean, yeah, I like that, you know, she has an official goal, and it's not money related. You know, it's not, let's cut that amount of money, let's find a way to make this amount of money. Her goal is to make the hospital presentable so that someone will buy it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it vaguer, it makes it more important in a way, and it makes it more interesting. And I don't know.
So how do you think the storyline will play out?
I'm not sure. I think we'll see Cahill kind of going department from department to department, kind of trying to change everything. And she will strike sensible chords with every attending, making them find a way to save the hospital. And a lot of the people are saying that
they're gonna buy it.
They're gonna buy it.
I'm
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they will. It's the most predictable. That's the most predictable route, though. So I almost hope that they don't go that way.
In a way, me too. Or if they go that way, make it very interesting. Make it very conflicting, maybe.
Yeah.
It'll be hard for the survivors to make a plan together, to agree to make a plan together. And for some reason, I kind of want Arizona and Derek to team up on this. I want it to be something...
I think that they are, based on what we've seen on some of Patrick Dempsey's tweets. And we've seen a lot of hints, though, that JCAP is supposed to be working with Bailey, so, or Sean Wilson, so I'm curious to see why.
I don't know.
So that could be interesting.
I want it to strike a chord with tiny humans. I want it to be...
Let's just pause for a moment and try to picture what a hospital would be like being run by Arizona, Derek, Christine, and Meredith.
This will be...
I feel like Arizona is the random one out of the three.
I feel like she's the efficient one. I feel like if there's one department in that hospital that is one run like a tight ship, it's P.
I just mean that three of them have slept in a bed together. Arizona's kind of the, you know, the oddball.
Oh, yeah. But I think she'd be good. I don't know if she'd be good at human resources, but I think she'd be good at budgeting and making things efficient and running things and having an overview of stuff. I don't know. But, I mean, what's the role of the person who owns an hospital anyways? We don't know that.
Yeah.
Who owns it now?
Maybe that'll be what we're going to explore.
Is it Jennings? If it's Jennings...
I don't know. I like the line that Cahill has here before, after the moment was ruined by her having to inform them that they were going to sell the hospital. When she says, sorry, I had a wonderful time today. It was like she was, the divide was back. Like, she had felt like one of them for a little while, but then she had to go on her separate way and do her business.
I am a really big fan of her storyline this episode, I'm gonna say. I think she was the character that would, ironically, she was the character that was handled the best. Her and Owen, I feel.
Yeah.
They had the best arc in this episode.
And I was very sad to see Owen closing the ER.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to come back? Do you think this is really the end of the ER?
Okay, let's not fool ourselves into thinking that Shonda Rhimes is going to write a hospital drama where there's no ER and no emergencies.
Okay, good point.
I mean, come on. It's going to be... I'm very curious next episode. I have a feeling we're going to see the hospital very boring and them sitting somewhere and kind of being... What are we doing?
Oh, I have an appendectomy today.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
No, I...
No, I think you, to have a teaching hospital, you need to have an ER, so.
Yeah. Well, it's the first thing they'll save.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, there was a very eerie, it's a very eerie scene. I was kind of sad.
Yeah.
So and I was like, so many memories.
I like that Owen is alone and that he's the one doing it. It's his ER. It's been his ER for a long time now.
Ever since really he arrived.
Yeah. Since season 5, approximately.
Yeah. I still remember that when I thought it was a very telling moment for Owen when he first arrived, and you remember he did stitch that man up and he didn't do it right, and Mark and Derek were like, this is not the way we do things here. So yeah, it's kind of where he learned how to be a doctor, not just a trauma surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not you know, doing a hack job.
Oh, so, yeah. I like Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Owen needs a buddy. And he gets a buddy. He actually gets out of the hospital and Christina's waiting for him. And I think that's very sensitive of Christina, giving him his moment to close the ER but waiting for him outside. For some reason, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure how I feel about them not being married. I go back and forth. Some days I'm like, okay, this is good. But now sometimes I'm just like, I don't even see the point now. Like, yeah.
Well, it's ambiguous, and they really put emphasis on the fact that they're not talking. Even in this short scene they have together, because Christina asks him, you know, what are you going to do? And he asks her, now or later, you know, whichever. So even in this tiny scene, they find a way to remind us that they are not talking in depth of
things. Which, really, they're going to have to soon. Just kind of.
They will. It can't be dragged along. This storyline has been dragged along.
Oh my god.
Far enough.
This has been dragged on the longest, I think, ever out of all the Grey's Anatomy storylines.
Yes. It's always Christina who gets the drag.
I know.
Storylines.
And yet, we still always love her. You know how sometimes when the storyline's dragged, we tend to kind of resent the character?
Yeah.
I think that shows a lot about her character.
And about Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh as an actress, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Meredith and Derek.
They're in their bed, and Derek is feeling the baby kicking. You know, as much as I'm a fan of that, that didn't push the story forward.
No, I know. And honestly, like,
an apology would have pushed the story forward more than this. I mean, I like that scene. It's a beautiful scene. I'm not against it at all. But I mean, if you have to make a decision,
it's a bookend.
If you have to make a decision as a director, there's many scenes in this episode you could have cut to make time for a good
apology from Arizona.
Or yeah, fudge.
I was reading Television Without Pity forums, and someone said this, and I thought it was kind of funny. They were like, so let me get this straight. Basically, when you get pregnant with a biological baby, you take your adoptive baby back to the store, purely because we haven't seen Zola for, like, a few episodes now.
Yeah, but why bring her in just for, you know, I want her to be back when there's meaning.
I would like to see a scene of them talking about the pregnancy, their baby, while holding Zola.
Yeah, well, I would like them to try to explain it to Zola, maybe. But, you know, it has to have meaning.
Yeah.
I don't want her to just be in a scene to be in a scene.
But I just don't want her to, you know, fade into the background because of McBaby.
No, I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think Shonda would allow that to happen.
I don't know. Of course she wouldn't. She adopted 2 kids. And she would be so insulted if someone told her that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, all right, yeah, right.
So, okay.
I feel almost random discussing the Jolix thing now. I mean, they weren't really in the episode.
No, but let's address it. Let's address it.
Well, what are the rumors that or the spoilers that we got this week? We got a lot of them.
Oh, I don't know about spoilers a lot.
Okay, they're not really spoilers. They were just Camilla Luddington's interviews and Shonda's approach to Jolix, which you already know, okay?
Yes. But I'm thinking of a way how to bring it up. So there was more than the apology missing in this episode. What we didn't get, and it's been 2 episodes, I think, that we haven't get any Joe and Alex interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I, if you want to keep the viewer interested in a ship, or you have to give them time, how do you feel about the fact that they don't get any interaction?
Well, we were discussing this over on the forum on Chambers Online. A lot of us, actually all three of us, are, well, we're just a little frustrated with what we were told from Shonda. And, like, Grey's Anatomy is a show where if you're not in a relationship, you're not really going to get a big plot line. And a lot of us have been waiting a long time to see Alex have a plot. And it's just kind of frustrating to know that we're already into the second half of the season and we haven't really made that much progress. Instead of doing baby steps, showing baby steps in these past two episodes, they've been completely ignored. And we're just not sure, like, how this is going to come out. Like, if Alex is even going to have anything to do for the rest of the season, because the Joe thing is taking such a long time. I'm not saying he's not getting good stuff. I mean, compared to some... they are, for instance, Jackson. I don't even know why he's on the show at the moment. I'm sorry. But in terms of the Joe and Alex ship, we just kind of hope it doesn't drag on too much.
Yeah.
We'd like to see some progress sooner than, like, six episodes from now.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the let's be careful and watch them and not force it. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that, but...
I just think they're going for a little too slow.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if they don't give us something by next episode,
they get bored.
It's not about bored. It's about keeping people interested. People interested. If you want to start something slowly, you still have to give us something.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I just thought that I'd share that perspective.
And it doesn't have to be a kiss or the start of a relationship or a marriage. I just like a scene
of showing them bonding, which apparently...
No, I'm on your side. I'm defending your point of view. I'm talking to Shonda. Give us something to keep us interested in, or to remind us that the ship exists.
That they even have a friendship.
Yeah.
Which I think is coming. Next episode, we've been told that they're going to kind of bond over the fact that Jackson, like, their friends are dating or whatever the heck they're doing. But, no, we're just a little frustrated with the pacing is all. Rant done.
Oh, they're a fan of that expression. People.
Yeah.
You know, I like the closing monologue. I like the closing monologue because Meredith says, to really be efficient, you have to eliminate what doesn't work. You have to figure out what isn't.
Eliminate those scenes then.
Exactly! This cast is bloated. I feel like I'm having a moment with Jackson just because he's a regular and I have to have a moment with him every episode.
Because he's a regular. And it's frustrating because we lost two regulars last season and we kind of have the same, mostly in this episode, the same issues that they had in season 8. That's why it felt like a season 8 episode. Because pacing was wrong.
With the interns, let's face it, we would have been totally okay in this episode without any of the interns other than Leah. It wasn't pertinent to have, as much as I love her, I love seeing her on my screen, I wouldn't have cared if Joe hadn't been in this episode.
No.
She wasn't needed. Neither was Edwards, neither was Shane.
I completely agree.
So, cut off what doesn't work.
I know. Trim some fat off.
And, I mean, they've been doing a good job this season. Let's not take...
Yeah, but Jackson is... He's the one that is the most noticeable. He's tailing along behind the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then we have to shift back to him and be like, oh, yeah, Jackson still exists. You know?
Writers, do something, please.
Yeah. So.
Janine, please!
I feel really uncomfortable with the way Callie and Arizona talk to each other in this episode. Like, I don't know, they always seem to have this banter that almost comes across as angry.
No, I like it. It feels like it's their, the way they play off each other, the banter.
Yeah. They need to talk slower. For me.
Oh yes, I agree, they need to talk. But doesn't help that they were in a setting where they had to whisper.
True, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's close this off.
Close this off.
Let's close this shit off. Do we put Sam's PSA?
Sure, yeah, why not?
Okay, so we'll leave you guys.
Because we were kind of a hater right at the end here.
Exactly.
We'll have Sam make fun of us.
Exactly. Because we've been hating all through this episode, we have a PSA for you guys that was sent in by our friend Sam, who, if you like the PSA, you know, let her know. She is on Twitter, SAFE.
Our guest host. She's not just a friend. She's a guest host.
Yes, and she's awesome, amazing.
Give her a sexy title.
Yes, sexy title. Anyways, listen to the PSA, guys.
Is this you? Oh my goodness, what an episode! I feel real emotions about fictional characters. That darn writer, Shonda Rhimes, she can sure play my emotions like an accordion. I feel like laughing and crying within 42 minutes. Brava, Ms. Rhimes, brava! I would love to share these thoughts and discuss tonight's episode with people who like the show as well. Yay for the internet, bringing the world together! Now to write a note on my favorite website and just share my thoughts with like-minded people. But what comes out is...
What the f*** was that episode? No f***ing calzona? No f***ing Mariner? Don't they understand that Mariner is the Grey of Grey's Anatomy? Why did they get 40.5 minutes out of 42? I want to see f***ing McBaby! About time Mariner had a kid so savage she lost a flush from the f***ing shooting. These f***ing writers are f***ing. The Getty Show is so f***ing lame anymore. Like f***ing Arizona lame. I miss f***ing Izzy and George. F*** you, Shonda! You kill all the f***ing good characters and you're a f***ing heifer! F*** you!
Does this sound familiar? You may be at risk for Grey's Anatomy Dissociative Disorder, GADD. This debilitating illness changes what you're thinking into lunatic drivel when typed, and you're not alone. Millions of viewers suffer from GADD every week and find themselves abandoned on the dark corners of LiveJournal. But there's hope. There's help. There's Don't Be a Dick and All. Feel upset about unresolved plot lines? Don't be a dick and all. Feel angry when your favorite fictional couple breaks up? Don't be a dick and all. See another character grow in an episode? Don't be a dick and all. Under the guidance of your physician, Don't Be a Dick and All can lead you out of the suffering from GADD and get you back to loving the rides of Shondaland. So next time when you feel that anger well up, think Don't Be a Dick and All. Side effects of long-term use of Don't Be a Dick and All include general contentment with life, uncoerced social interaction, healthy relationships, going outside, team sports, and sexual side effects such as fellatio and cunnilingus. If experienced, please visit your doctor and hug them repeatedly. Don't be a dick and all. Be one less cat in the bag.
And now let's do our seriouslys.
Yeah. I'm Amanda, and this episode seriously pissed me off.
I'll try to be positive.
You open the floodgates.
Oh. I'm Kay. And I seriously feel better about April now than I did when this season started.
I'm Amanda, and I seriously just love you all.
I'm Kay, and I seriously love this podcast.
I'm Amanda, and I seriously think that Kay is awesome.
I'm Kay, and I seriously think that Amanda and I should get married. And invite all of you guys.
Don't say that. They'll think we're being serious. Seriously!
Maybe we are. Bye!
I said these words 1,000 times.